Drug courts in several New Hampshire counties allow some nonviolent offenders to avoid jail and treat their addiction. The courts are growing across the state, and earlier this week, lawmakers heard from a national drug court expert. Dr. Doug Marlow is the chief of science, law, and policy for the National Association of Drug Court Professionals. Doug, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Do drug courts work the same everywhere?
No, there's a great deal of variability. Some of it's intentional and some of it is not so intended. There are about 3,000 drug courts nationally. Some drug courts work with adolescents, some work with adults, some work with individuals charged with drug crimes that have mental health problems. And then there's the adherence to the model. Some drug courts are more effective than others because they apply the model correctly.
Why should New Hampshire have more of these?
Well, drug courts are, without question, the most carefully studied intervention in the criminal justice system. There have been literally hundreds and hundreds of studies of drug courts, and they have been reliably found to reduce crime and save money better than any other intervention in the criminal justice system.
And speaking of saving money, these drug courts in New Hampshire are funded by the counties in which they're located, but they also save the state money by keeping people out of prison. What funding models could local communities or the state consider?
Well, one of that's actually a very common issue is that drug courts are used very often as an alternative to prison. And sometimes what counties say is that they're shouldering the costs because the money's being spent by the court, by county probation, by local treatment, and they're offsetting state beds. So the money's being diverted to a different coffer. And so states like California have basically said that we want to return the responsibility and the savings to the counties where those cases originate. So you could be using what's called justice realignment, where cases are managed locally and any prison time that is saved is used for county offset costs rather than being kept in a separate coffer.
So you're saying that the savings that the state would benefit from as a result of these county-run programs would be returned then to the county?
They should be reinvested in county programming. Usually that will go to the courts or probation or treatment.
So similar programming for the same problem, essentially.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Most of the courts in New Hampshire don't accept violent offenders, but in Stratford County, the drug court there accepts some. Is there a trend toward higher-risk participants for these programs?
Well, there's two separate issues. There is definitely a trend towards taking higher risk participants in general, meaning people charged with more serious crimes, with more complicated histories. There has been a federal exclusion against violent offenders since the beginning of drug courts. But following the research, we've really found that it's not a good idea to exclude violent offenders from drug courts if they're going to be in the community anyway. Because if you don't let them in drug court, they wound up on probation or some lesser intervention where they're actually a bigger threat to community safety. So if a violent offender is going to be in the community and they have a drug problem, drug court is exactly where you want them to be.
What, in your view, is the best practice for assessing someone's eligibility?
So there are two issues. One is risk and the other is need. Risk is how likely is the person to fail in traditional supervision, and need is how clinically disordered, how addicted they are. We strongly recommend use of a standardized assessment tool that measures risk and need, and drug courts should target people who are in the high risk and high need category. If they're not an addict and they're not at risk for failure on regular probation, then they shouldn't be in a drug court. We do not believe people should be using their own individual judgment because, frankly, individual judgment is not good at identifying the correct population.
You spoke to the New Hampshire legislature earlier this week. What kind of questions did they ask you?
There were a number of issues that came up. I spoke not only to the legislature, but also to many of the drug court programs. One of the big issues had to do with the heroin epidemic and the opiate epidemic in your state, where numbers of overdoses and deaths have tripled, I think, in the last few years, and the importance of use of medically assisted treatments, such as medications that block heroin without causing any effects of their own, other medications like methadone that are themselves potentially addictive but that reduce illicit drug use and reduce crime, and what are the legal criteria and the clinical criteria to use these medications safely and effectively. It was a big concern of many of the people in the audience.
Dr. Doug Marlow is the Chief of Science, Law, and Policy for the National Association of Drug Court Professionals. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.